At the Movies with CJ Johnson.
CJ, good evening. Welcome to Nightlife.
Thank you. I'm rather full of the Christmas spirit.
I see. By the selection of movies here.
Yeah.
All right. Well, The Man Who Invented Christmas and then, ah, dear, Paddington 2.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's start with Christmas. What's The Man Who Invented Christmas all about?
Well, there's a lot of links on this evening's review edition. There's a lot of links between these two films, and there's a bit of a link to last week. Last week, I reviewed, and not well, the one about A.A. Milne discovering his muse in his son to write Winnie the Pooh. That one was called Goodbye, Christopher Robin. I really did not like that film. Now, The Man Who Invented Christmas is also about a famous British author finding his muse and writing his masterpiece, or one of his many masterpieces, but this one is very, very good. They share a cinematographer, and the cinematographer from the one last week I really lambasted because because he overlit it. He was aspiring to make that film, Goodbye Christopher Robin, romantic, and in doing so it looked overlit. It was ridiculous. Everyone moved from one shaft of light to the other, and the makeup was too much. It was all too much. Whereas this film, which is set in Charles Dickens' London when Dickens was a young man, is deliberately over-designed. It's deliberately over the top. It's deliberately overlit. In fact, the film critic Richard Schickel came up with the term in the 1960s in an essay, Disneyfied. And you can take that and take it actually out of Disney and apply it to something like this, where it's been Disneyfied in all the right ways. So the London that we're going through is teeming with street urchins, but it's never dirty or dangerous. It's just grubby and fun. Do you know what I mean? It's that kind of movie. So the last time we saw Dickens on screen, or that I saw Dickens on screen, was in 2013 when Ralph Fiennes played him as an older man in a film called The Invisible Woman, and that was about Dickens having an affair. That was the serious Dickens. This is the fun Dickens. So this Dickens, I don't know, I guess he's in his 30s. He's played by Dan Stevens, and he lives in London, and he loves London. This is very much a London, London is fun film. It's set in 1843. Mm-hmm. Various parts of it are true. It's inspired by the real Dickens and the real London, but it's Disneyfied. And he's seemingly wealthy. He's certainly very famous. He's already Charles Dickens. He's already a very, very, very beloved author. So he lives in this lovely London townhouse, and it's full of life. He's got a family. He's got this lovely wife. He's got, I don't know how many kids. He's either got three or four kids. He's got a lot of kids. There are servants, and there's tradesmen doing his house up. So his house is just full of life. But he's had three flops in a row, and I guess this really happened. He had these three novels, none of which sold as his previous work had. So he's got debtors snapping at his heels. You know, all this is in place. And he needs a hit. And he doesn't know what to write. And he's kind of got writer's block. And he goes, you know, to the Garrick Club. And there's Thackeray. And Thackeray's coming over making fun of him because Thackeray's selling well and he isn't selling well. So it's all this, even though it's set in London in 1843, there's a lot of fun resonance to showbiz culture and success culture today. You know, these guys are making fun of each other's sales and reviews. They're all making fun of each other's reviews too. So it's all very, very, very like that. And so he realizes that Christmas is coming up. And this is an interesting thing. I guess in 1843, London and England, and therefore this is why we get the title, the interesting title, that Christmas wasn't really a thing.
No, it wasn't. No.
And
it grew through, partly under the influence of Albert, the husband of Queen Victoria, who brought a lot of German traditions from Germany, where Christmas was more of a thing.
That's not a do in this film, because he gets a Tannenbaum, a Christmas tree, in this film, and someone's like, what's this? And he's like, oh, it's a Tannenbaum, it's a tree, because it's a Christmas tree. And someone says, oh, well, now that the royals have one, I guess it'll become more popular.
That's where it came from. Yeah.
So that's all in here too. So it's very much about sort of part of it is about the invention of Christmas, the way that Christmas became more popular, at least in Great Britain. And of course, part of the reason Christmas became more popular is because over that Christmas period, he wrote and published A Christmas Carol in a remarkably short period of time. So this film's guts is him coming up with the idea to write A Christmas Carol and him writing it to basically get himself out of debt, make everyone happy. And according to the film, he wrote it in like 6 weeks or something incredible and rushed it to publication. It was published on the 23rd of December and instantly sold out and became this huge hit, and everyone loved it, and everyone loved Christmas, and he made money and blah, blah, blah. And it was a big success and remains so to this day. I think it says in the end credits that it has sold everything, more copies except anything but the Bible or something. You know, it's remarkably successful.
It was a huge commercial success for him, yeah.
Yeah. So all that is essentially based on reality, but it's told in a very colourful way, and it's child-friendly. This is a family film.
Right.
This is the kind of film that aims to be played every Christmas from now till eternity, you know, on the television, on the cable, whatever. But this is where it takes a bit of a veer off, and this is where you've got to run with it. Unlike last week's film, where A.A. Milne's muse was his actual son, Christopher Robin, in this film, Scrooge pops up in the guise of Christopher Plummer, and gradually the other characters from the thing pop up and guide him into writing the book. That's where it takes a fanciful turn. And that's the part where I thought the sort of cynical person in me would, that's what I thought I would dislike, but it's Christopher Plummer. And Christopher Plummer, who is 88 years old now, is truly like a fine wine. He gets better with age, and he is so delightful, and he has so much fun playing this sort of mythical proto-Scrooge that you just go along with that too. And the thing is really quite delightful.
This is a little clip from the man who invented Christmas.
Why Christmas? Why not?
Does anybody really celebrate it anymore, apart from our clerk, who never misses an opportunity to take a day off with pay?
More or less an opportunity for picking a man's pocket every 25th of December.
What we mean to say, Mr. Dickens, is not much of a market for Christmas books, what?
It is a Christmas book because Christmas is, or ought to be, the one time of year when men and women open their shut-up hearts and think of the people below them as if they really were fellow passengers to the grave and not another race of creatures altogether.
We are already halfway through October. Even if you'd already written it, we couldn't possibly get it illustrated, typeset, printed and bound, advertised and distributed to shops in only 6 weeks.
Well, thank you for your opinion, gentlemen.
Mr. Dickens!
Oh, it seems good.
Yeah, and he was an early self-publisher. He got a lot more of the money than he normally would because he self-published. So
he
this
worked
made
his
him.
Copyrights really hard. He did. He was one of the first to do it.
So as you can hear from that clip, which is wonderfully just sets up the entire movie, it is oh so British. But interestingly, it's an Irish-Canadian co-production.
Hey,
yeah.
How about that?
It's so, even though it's got all these wonderful British thespians, and boy, it's got so many British thespians. Jonathan Pryce plays his dad. Miriam Margolis is in it. Donald Sumpter, Simon Callow. And now Simon Callow and Miriam Margolis, both, when they're not in a film, they tour their one-person Dickens shows around the world.
They do.
So the fact that they're both in this is a wonderful sly joke that I think Charles Dickens would like. You know, it's that kind of movie.
Yes, Miriam Margolis is magnificent in her Dickens show. She can do any Dickens character. She's fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. The man who invented Christmas. Now, the lovable bear is back in Paddington 2.
Paddington 2. So this movie is incredibly similar in that even though it takes place in contemporary London, once again, it's very much a Disneyfied London or a fairground London or a London of the mind. It feels to me like even though it's probably shot in real London streets, they've then gone back with the CGI and made them even look better and more fun and more colourful. Like it's a really lovely playground of London, which is correct because it's how a little bear from, you know, the jungles of South America would see it. Do you know Paddington much?
What, the suburb or the bear?
The bear.
Not particularly, no.
Paddington means an awful lot to me because I mean,
apart from a certain Australian political controversy, but that's, yes.
Oh, I moved to London when I was 7 and lived there till I was 10. Uh-huh. And so I was taken there by my parents, obviously. I was an only child and I didn't get to take my friends with me. So I suddenly had to find new friends and everything. And I felt like lonely and adrift in this big city that I didn't know. And the first thing my parents got me there was a Paddington bear. And he came with a little Paddington book. And the story is about a bear who goes to London, arrives at Paddington Station.
From deepest, darkest Peru.
And I could relate. I felt like this bear and me and this bear were the same. We were on the same trajectory. So Paddington was very important to me. So when they made a movie of it a couple of years ago, I took it seriously. I wanted it to be good, and it was good. It was really good.
Because this was my life.
And Paddington 2 is even better.
Oh, okay.
And the reason it's better is because they've seen what worked in the first one, which is that it's full of humour for adults, but is also adorable for kids. But there's so much humour for adults. They've doubled down on both. So the bear is even sweeter as he gets into escapades. There's lots of jokes for adults. There are English thespians up the wazoo. Everyone you see is a famous face. I mean, it's just incredible, the cast list on this thing. I won't even go into them all. But the other reason this one is just better is you've got to have a villain. I mean, it's a feature film, so you've got to have an antagonist. In the first one, the antagonist was slightly tonally wrong. It was Nicole Kidman, and she played a taxidermist. And so she wanted to capture Paddington and stuff him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a bit too sinister for little kids.
Yeah.
And so it was a bit wrong. Whereas in this one, they've got it perfect. Basically, they've got Hugh Grant playing a pompous movie star. And he's basically down on his luck, so he's become a cat thief at night. And Paddington gets jailed for his crimes, and so Paddington and Paddington's faux family, his London family, have to, like, solve the crime and jail this pompous twit of an actor. So you've got Hugh Grant lampooning himself. And that's a lot more family-friendly for everyone. And Hugh Grant has a whale of a time playing this absolutely pompous, egocentric actor, and everyone in his lovely. Hugh Bonneville plays the father of the family. Sally Hawkins plays the mother of the family. Ben Whishaw voices Paddington delightfully. The bear himself, who is a CGI effect, is lovely.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just joyous. Every now and then snow falls for no reason other than to make you feel good. You know, it's that kind of movie.
Here we are. This is Paddington 2.
I'm going to ask one of you to come up here and open the fair. Volunteers! Anyway. Meeny, meeny, miny. Bear. Let's have the young bear. Why not? Come, young Ursine.
Thank you.
Up here, my furry friend. Very good, very good. Now, your name is?
Paddington Brown.
Oh, well, of course it is. You are my new neighbour. You live with Henry and Mary and a great Mrs. Now then, I suppose you know who I am.
Oh, yes. You're a very famous actor.
Oh, poo.
Or used to be. Now you do dog food commercials.
Well, a man has to eat.
What? Dog food?
Oh, well, yes.
Once again.
Cheesy but good.
Oh, so British.
Yeah.
And guess what? Studio Canal. So this is a French film, but oh, so British.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it's just lovely. And kids will love it, and adults can really enjoy it. I mean, I saw it in a critic screening, so all adults, and people are laughing a lot.
Good stuff. All right, stars, The Man Who Invented Christmas.
Let's give them both 4 stars.
Hey.
Yeah. These are nice films.
It is the season to be jolly. Thanks, CJ.
Thanks, Philip.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.